Well, the message tonight is very simple. You must be born again. And we have five things to say. Please come with me to the reading which we had, John chapter 3 and the first 15 verses. Five things to say, and the first is this, the answer to the question. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus is a big name in Israel. He's a highly respected Pharisee. More than that, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's a member of the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. And more than that, verse 10, we're told he is the teacher of Israel. So he's the premier religious teacher in the land. If you've got problems, if you've got questions, tricky theological questions, he's your man. And he's been watching Jesus for some time. And on this night, he comes to Jesus with a question. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So what's the question? Well, it's an unspoken question, which Jesus puts his finger on, because the next thing we read, verse 3, is that Jesus answered and said to him. So he comes with a question, which he never gets around to saying. Jesus knows exactly what it is and gives him the answer. So what's the question? Well, in fact, Nicodemus is saying, I'm a big name. I'm a Pharisee. My Bible knowledge is second to none. I'm a ruler of the Jews. I'm the one to whom people look. And I am the teacher of Israel, the man who's supposed to have all the answers. And yet I don't have the answer. What is the answer? And says Jesus, the answer to the question is, verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The answer to the question is you must be born again. So point number two. What does Jesus mean? Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is it I'm supposed to be seeing? He cannot see the kingdom of God. What am I supposed to be seeing? Would you like jigsaws? Now, to make sense of the pieces, what do you need? You need the lid with the picture. Imagine if you had the wrong lid with the wrong picture, and you have your jigsaw, you have the wrong lid, it would be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Without seeing what the jigsaw is supposed to be, it's impossible to make sense of the pieces. Well, making sense of the jigsaw of Nicodemus' life, he's looking at the lid of religion. He's a very religious man. He's a Pharisee. That's the lid that he's working from. He's got the pieces of the jigsaw of his life. That's the picture on the lid. It's religion. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees, they were super religious. These men were the men committed to pure religion, of getting close to God, of obeying his commands. So as far as Nicodemus is concerned, he's doing all the right things. He's working to the picture on the box. And yet he can't seem to find God. And he has no sense of real forgiveness. He can't stop himself from sinning. And he has no assurance that on Judgment Day all will go well. The jigsaw of his life, of his experience, doesn't seem to match the picture on the box. The lid of religion makes no sense of the jigsaw of his life. Well, maybe he's got the wrong lid, the wrong picture. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The picture you need to see, says Jesus, is the kingdom of God. But you won't be able to see the picture which makes sense of everything else, unless you are born again. Now, what of us in the 21st century? We've all got the jigsaw of our lives. And our lid, the picture that most people in this country are working from, the lid, the picture that makes sense of their lives is there's no God, no moral absolutes, and death is the end. But like Nicodemus, the jigsaw of my life doesn't match that picture. We say there is no God, don't we? And yet, everything in us cries out for something, cries out for meaning. And you know, because when things go wrong or you're in trouble, we cry out instinctively to someone, something. Something beyond ourselves, something greater than ourselves. Even when the laptop crashes and we say, no! It's because we instinctively feel that there is someone beyond us. Someone who's responsible for all this. And no absolutes, but we do believe in absolutes, don't we? Think of the terrible events in Tunisia. What happened there was wicked. People were gunned down. There wasn't just a sort of reordering of meaningless atoms. People died. Lives were taken. And if death is the end, why are we haunted by death? Do you see, the picture that we're working from makes no sense of the jigsaw of our lives. It doesn't chime with my day-to-day experience, which of course is why the piece of the jigsaw never seemed to fit. I can't make sense of my life. Well, says Jesus, the picture that makes perfect sense of me and my world is the kingdom of God. But you won't be able to see that picture. You won't be able to see the kingdom of God. Life will remain a mystery unless you are born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so what's this kingdom of God? What's this thing I'm supposed to be seeing that I can't see? What's this picture that makes sense of the jigsaw? We're now going to change our picture. We're going to change it from jigsaws to a tapestry. Okay, you know what a tapestry is. It's a weave of different threads, isn't it, to make a pattern or a picture. Now, the opening chapters of the Bible are a beautiful tapestry. Beautiful tapestry. It's a world of beauty, harmony, wonder, and at its heart, man in fellowship with God. And the closing chapters of the Bible, again, a beautiful tapestry. What a beauty, harmony, wonder, and again, at its heart, man in communion with God. Only the tapestry at the end of the Bible is even more beautiful and wonderful than the tapestry at the beginning of the Bible. And in this last tapestry, one at the end of the Bible, everything is under God's rule. And God is at the center of everything. In other words, it's the kingdom of God. God at the center, everything under God, God's kingship over everything. The kingdom of God. So you've got our opening chapters, beautiful tapestry. Our closing chapters, beautiful tapestry. Only this tapestry is more beautiful than that tapestry. So what lies between? But what lies between is the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible of what went wrong and how it was put right. So what went wrong? What happened to the beautiful tapestry? What went wrong was we pulled the thread. We walked out on God. We broke off relations. And of course, being a tapestry, you know, it's like when you start pulling the thread, the whole thing unravels. Which is why this is now a world of pain and suffering and sorrow, a world of death. And it's why our lives are completely disconnected from God. It's why God seems unreal to me. It's why all this Bible stuff and God makes no sense to me at all. And it's why I can't make sense of the jigsaw of my life. I don't know the picture that I'm working from. The pieces of my jigsaw don't seem to fit together. We don't see the kingdom of God. We don't live under his kingship. Everything is unraveled. Everything is a mess. But of course, the story of the Bible is how everything is put right. And who puts the tapestry right? God himself. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with him. We know that you come from God. And as you read through John's Gospel, you realize the guessing game is over. Who is God? God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, has stepped into our world. That verse 13 makes it even more explicit. Jesus says, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. God has come down into our world in Jesus Christ. God has stepped into the scene. What did Nicodemus say? Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. When Jesus comes, he does signs, miracles. Isn't that what you'd expect if God himself stepped in? And the signs, the miracles which Jesus does, they're not sort of magic. You don't find him walking up a sunbeam. They're not fairy tales. What Jesus does, the signs and miracles he does, he restores the natural order. What's he doing? He's re-threading the tapestry. He heals the sick. He casts out the demons. He stills the storm. He even sends death into reverse. So God has stepped into our world to put the tapestry back together. And my friend, if you want to be part of the tapestry and not be thrown away, if you want to reconnect with God in a way that makes sense of everything, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So point number three. What does Jesus mean, born again? Now, Joseph put it brilliantly, so keep that in your mind as we now go through what Jesus means by being born again. Now, back in 1979, there was a record, Billy Preston and Sarita, they performed a duet. And if you're of a certain age, you might have heard it, With You I'm Born Again, you know? We had discos in those days, and it was the slowie that used to dance the disco, With You I'm Born Again. Basically, you fall in love, everything's changed. With you I'm born again, it's a new beginning. I've never felt this way before, I've never felt so alive, so real. It's a new relationship, with you I'm born again. Last week, a Tunisian family escaped extraordinarily from the killings. They thought, particularly the wife, she'd been shot. The man came back. He decided not to shoot her. They described how their lives had been saved. They thought they would lose their lives, only to find their lives had been given back to them. And how do they describe it? They said, we feel as though we've been born again. As a family, that we've been born again. So born again isn't strange to us, is it? It's a word that we actually use. But it's got to be something pretty special, something pretty big. So a new relationship, the relationship. To be saved when you thought all was lost. It's a big word, isn't it? Born again. And Jesus actually doesn't dismiss those thoughts. Actually, he captures those thoughts and he drives them further. Verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, is Nicodemus being thick? Is he simply taking Jesus' words literally and says, you see, I've got to be born again. How can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Maybe Nicodemus understands exactly what Jesus is saying. And he says, yes, but I'm too old. Too old to change. Well, look at Jesus' reply. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, what does Jesus mean? Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, or that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. What does he mean? Well, think of that unraveled tapestry. We are born into this world separated from God. God's unreal to us. We're born into this world where everyone lives for themselves, don't we? The idea that God should give us commands and tell us how we ought to live, we put that out of our minds. We're not bothered. We're not interested. And we're born into a world where no one gets out alive. Death is a destination for us all, and, says the Bible, the judgment beyond. That's the unraveled tapestry. And I can't escape from this world. I'm part of the broken, torn, wrecked tapestry. I'm just part of this rotten, corrupt, broken, dying system. And I'm part of it because Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. By virtue of my first birth into this world, I too have pulled the thread. I too have walked out on God. I too have broken off relations from him. And I'm part of a system that's just all unraveled in a great mess. And I can't change it. I don't even know where to begin. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But what I cannot do, God can do and does do. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Says Jesus, God by his Spirit breaks into the world, into the lives, into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Joseph spoke about it being personal, didn't he? God having personal dealings with him. And when God breaks into our world, into our lives, into our hearts, God rethreads us into the tapestry. He makes us alive to himself. He gives us a new reason to live, a new destination. Everything changes. It's a life that now has hope and joy. Because we're being re-threaded into the greatest story of them all. We're being re-threaded into the greatest adventure of them all. The kingdom of God. And God by his Spirit makes all things new. And it's a change that's so real, so decisive, so wonderful. Well, there's only one word for it. Born again. So just as I have been born into the world of the ruined tapestry where nothing fits and it's all unraveled, that which is born of flesh is flesh, so by God's Spirit, something God does to me, I am born into the world of the restored tapestry. Where God is weaving me into it. He's putting it all back together again, including me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But verse 5, Jesus says something else, doesn't he? He said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. What does he mean to be born of water? Well, it's saying the same thing as we just said, only from another angle. And what Jesus is doing is pulling together a number of Old Testament scriptures which Nicodemus would have known. Now think about it. Persil, Lynx, Colgate, Toilet Duck, Sif. We're obsessed with cleanliness, aren't we? Everyone wants to be clean. Yes, I'm sure you checked yourself before you came out this evening. And it's the horror of horrors that I might appear to be unclean. Everyone wants to be clean. But how can you get clean on the inside? Why do I have that feeling that if you knew the real me, you wouldn't really want to know me? How do you get clean on the inside? I mean, we even use language like dirty secrets, don't we? They're secrets, but they're dirty. They're unclean. And when I have dirty secrets, I have a fear that I'm going to be found out and that other people will see my dirty secrets. How do you get clean on the inside? Because we all wrestle, don't we, with feelings of guilt and shame. And it's the same answer, because it's the same concept, it's the same thing. How do I get clean on the inside? By being born again. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. When God's Spirit comes into a person's life, he washes them clean on the inside. And he does that so they don't spoil the tapestry which God is weaving them into. So do you see what being born again is? God by his Spirit doesn't sort of patch up my old life. He gives me a new life. Joseph wasn't the same as he was before. You know, it's not he's exactly the same. He just goes to church now. That wasn't the story. If you like, I step out of the womb, a newborn baby in Christ, a child of God. The color of my eyes doesn't change. But there's a new light, a new fire burning behind those eyes. Because I'm a new person, walking a new direction, following a new Lord. Everything is new. No longer am I destined to be thrown away at the judgment. I've been woven back into God's tapestry. I enter the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But if I am born again, then I do enter the kingdom of God. So number four, how does it happen? Look at verses 7 and 8. Do not marvel, don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I can't make myself born again any more than my first birth was under my control. Yes? I was there, but I don't remember it. It wasn't under my control. It was done to me. So being born again is not something I do. It's something God does to me. And Jesus says the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now think of the wind. Is the wind under my control? No, of course not. The wind is free. It blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of the wind. You can see its effect. You can see the trees bending in the breeze. But the wind blows where it wishes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, I was saved in New Year 1977-78. So I can tell you when. I can tell you where. A place called Mena Don in Mid Wales. I can tell you the preacher, a Scotsman called Billy Strachan. I can tell you the means. It was God's word and God's people. But there's another sense in which I can't tell you how it happened. And I can't say why it happened to me. And what happened to me didn't happen to some of my friends who were on the same holiday with me. I know that I arrived on that holiday cynical, arrogant, fed up. I was sure that the last place in the world I would find any answers was the Bible. And when I found myself that first night sitting in a room and they were opening their Bibles, taking them seriously, I thought, I'm amongst a bunch of people who are flat earthers. What am I doing here? And God was unreal to me. But 4 days later, I left rejoicing in a Jesus who had died for my sins, in a God who loved me, in a life reborn and just bursting with the joy and wonder of it all. And it wasn't my doing. It was a miracle. And only the God of miracles could do it. So when Jesus says, verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again, that's not a command. He's not commanding us to go and get born again in that sense. But he is saying it's a necessity. It's not something I do, it's something God does to me. C.S. Lewis, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, captures the picture. If you read the book, isn't it? It's a children's book, but it's good to read it when you get older as well. There's vile Eustace. Okay, he's a vile child. And without going into details, he gets turned into a dragon. And try as he may, he can't shed his dragon's skin. He tries three times to shed his dragon skin. He sheds it the first time, steps out, only to find he's still a dragon. He sheds it a second time, steps out, finds he's still a dragon. Does it a third time, steps out, he's still a dragon. He can't shed his dragon skin. There's just another dragon skin underneath. In other words, he can't change himself. He can't change his skin. He can't change his dragony nature. But what he cannot do, Aslan the lion does. And this is what he says. He recounts what happens. Then the lion said, "You'll have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now. So I just lay flat down on my back and let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And then he began pulling the skin off. It hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done to myself the other three times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, as smooth and as soft as a peeled switch, that's like a little chute, and smaller than I had been. Then he caught hold of me and threw me into the water." It's only a picture, isn't it? But it makes the point. "And most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." To enter the kingdom of God, to shed my sinful self, to shed my sinful dragony nature, to be made new and clean on the inside, to live under God's rule. It's a necessity. But it's not something I can do myself. It's something that God does to me. Only he can change me. Only he can change the way I am. Only he can change my heart. And that's why Nicodemus, for all his religion, knew he didn't have the answer. Because religion can't change you. Nothing can change you in that way. You cannot change yourself. And so to our last point, you must be born again. This evening, maybe you feel I can't make sense of my life. The pieces of the jigsaw don't fit. Do you wonder what it's all about and why you're here? You must be born again. Are you ashamed? You wish you hadn't, but you did. You want to break the cycle, but you can't. And you long to be clean on the inside. You must be born again. Is God unreal to you? You can't see him. How can I believe in a God I can't see? How can I be sure of things that I can't get hold of? I can't make sense of it. And you feel I need something more before the penny drops. You must be born again. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home. And you know all of this matters. You know it's important, but somehow you don't get it. You know it's real to your mum and dad. It's real for them, but actually in your heart of hearts, it's not really real to you. And they'll go their way, and maybe you're thinking, well, I'm going to go my way when I get older. It's not really real to me. You must be born again. The author Mark Twain, he kept having this dream, and in his dream there was a Bible on his chest. And as this Bible was on his chest, the Bible was sort of crushing him, suffocating him. All those commands he couldn't keep, all that condemnation. Maybe you feel that about the Bible, maybe you feel that about Sunday evening. God's commands, God's condemnation. I don't want to go to hell. And you can't see the Bible's message of hope and life and joy of a Jesus who does it all and makes all things new. You must be born again. And maybe you feel there's a song that you've never heard, but somehow it's your song. If only you could sing it. And there's a part of you that wants to start all over again. You've got so far in this life and it's all just gone wrong and unraveled and messed up. And I want to find my song. I want to sing that song. Would you want God to give you a new song? Your song. You must be born again. And do you want to know the answer to your question? You must be born again. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So as we close, this is something that God does. What then am I supposed to do? I mean, something's happened to Joseph. What happened? If being born again is something that God does to me, what am I supposed to do? Well, look as we close at verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Jesus is pointing back to an episode in the wilderness. The children of Israel had sinned. They'd rebelled against God. And God, in judgment, sent what are described as fiery serpents. We call them venomous snakes. And they were bitten. They were poisoned. They were dying. And there was only one cure. And that was to look at a bronze serpent Moses had put on a pole. He put it there at God's command. And to look at the bronze serpent was to live, to look and live. It's a strange thing, isn't it? You've been bitten by a snake. The last thing you'd want to see is another snake. The last thing you'd want to see is the judgment you deserve. But that's exactly the point. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus was lifted up on a cross, where he was punished for my sins. And God says, look, look and live. Witness the drops of his agony. Look and live. See the judgment that you deserve. Look and live. Trust in Jesus Christ as the only cure for dying sinners. Will you? Oh Lord, I've messed up. I want to be born again, but I know it's what you do. But what I do know is I've messed up. I've sinned. The whole thing's become unraveled. But I see that Jesus Christ died on a cross to save condemned sinners. Well, I'm a condemned sinner. So Lord, save me. You cannot heal yourself. But as you come to Jesus Christ, he will heal you. He will save you. Born again. But whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.